This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Today we're talking with violinist Marcia Henry Libano and flutist Kyle DiZappo. They're here to tell us more about their performance tonight in the Chamber Music by Candlelight, part of the Trinity Concert Series at Trinity Lutheran Church. Marcia and Kyle, welcome to Out and About.
Thank you.
Now, tell us a little bit about this venue in particular and maybe why it's conducive to the chamber music experience.
Trinity Lutheran Church has long been an important venue for music. They've been the sponsors of the Peoria Bach Festival. Mm-hmm. And also this Trinity Concert Series with its Candlelight Concert each spring. It's a wonderful church with wonderful acoustics, quite frankly. And so that's one of the reasons that musicians love to play there. And it works so well for the audience as well because of that acoustic. And they have a fine grand piano, lovely space. And their congregation, as well as the community, have always been really supportive of music as a part of their worship.
Can you talk a little bit about the process of putting the program together? The program covers a lot of musical periods, and did you start with the idea of having a large representation in the program, or did you start with a sense of who your musicians were and look for fun ways to put those instruments and those musicians together?
Kyle and I had been asked to put together a concert for this series, and we thought chamber music is such a great kind of music to do in Trinity. And there are people we love to play with in town, and we wanted to find ways to involve musicians and play pieces that we liked to play. So we both thought, what piece would I really like to play on this concert? Mm-hmm. And she came up with ideas, and I came up with ideas, and we were thinking of who else to ask to join us. So certainly we want to have a balanced program with a variety, and I think the way it worked out, we have quite that variety, as you had mentioned, so...
So, Marcia, speak a little bit to the piece that maybe you were perhaps really hoping to play or trying to fit into this program.
Certainly. And as Kyle mentioned, they have a nice piano at Trinity. And so I thought, oh, boy, would I love to play a Brahms sonata. Mm-hmm. There are three that he wrote for violin and piano. This is the last one. And it's been a number of years since I've had the opportunity to play it. And I thought in that acoustic, it would be pretty amazing. So that was one of my top choices of pieces to play in the next year when we planned this.
And can you speak a little bit about the pianist that will be joining you on that
piece? Dr. John Orff is probably quite well known to Peoria audiences. He's a fabulous pianist, a composer. He teaches at Bradley. He is also the pianist and organist at First United Methodist Church downtown. And he travels worldwide and plays piano, and his compositions are premiered and things like that. And we've been colleagues for a number of years at Bradley and have gotten to play in different situations. We've done sonatas before. We've played in Peoria Linaire, which is a contemporary music group. We've played a trio on the Trinity series before. So he and I have collaborated on a number of occasions before, and I thought this would be a perfect piece to ask him to play with me.
And sometimes people assume when it's just two instruments that are playing that it's just one is a solo line and one is an accompaniment line. But in the sonata, it's quite different from that.
Right. Sonatas are very much two equal partners. And when you have a pianist and a violinist, of course, the pianist is playing all of the time. The violinist is playing most of the time. And there's a lot of sharing of melodic lines and of accompanimental lines. So it's really the smallest form of chamber music as a two-person piece, a sonata. But it's really, to the core, chamber music.
And Kyle, you'll be playing three pieces for flute and piano. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. I'll be performing three American pieces by Lucas Foss. Lucas Foss is an interesting composer. He was actually born in Berlin and then came to the U.S. after being in Paris for a few years where he studied the flute. And came to the U.S., studied at the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia, and became a very fine pianist, a conductor, and a composer. And what's interesting is that he really became a quintessential American composer, though he wasn't born in the U.S. And in the 1940s, he wrote these three pieces, originally for violin and piano. And then he came back to them about 40-some years later, and clearly he had loved those pieces and remembered them well and decided that he would like to do an adaptation for flute and piano. And the very famous New York flutist Carol Winsence was a friend of his. And so he wrote them, I think, with her in mind, and then also wrote a version for violin and orchestra. And he said many years later in his life that he wished he could still write such straightforward American music. And so these have always been favorite pieces of mine. And it's another great collaboration with John Orff. So I'll perform those works. And then after that, two pieces of the Danish flutist composer Joachim Andersen. I've been on his trail for a long time studying his works. And Andersen was most famous as a flutist himself and the composer who wrote 188 practice pieces that every flutist throughout the world has performed for the last 125 years trying to improve their technique. And so the story goes that he used to sit at the back of a Berlin bar and write these study pieces. And then he also, as a famous flutist himself, wrote salon pieces that he would perform in people's homes in Berlin in his heyday. And so he wrote a piece called Legend and then another one called actually The Mill, which is really a perpetual motion etude kind of piece, but for flute and piano. So those are the works that I'll be performing with John.
Now, one of the things that I often hear from musicians is the value that they place on chamber music. Now, you are both educators. You've both performed with symphonies and orchestras. Can you talk about the unique qualities of chamber music and why do musicians value it so highly?
Well, I know that both of us love chamber music, as you mentioned, and we're fortunate to have gotten to play some with each other, but also with many other people. I think chamber music is so important because it's very collaborative, very conversational. There's nothing like it in terms of blending together and having your own personality, and it's just so much fun to play. It's difficult music. I mean, it's not easy. It's not a walk in the park, depending on the piece you choose. But it's just, it's so invigorating and just really refreshing and rewarding to play chamber music because you feel like you're conversing with friends, musical colleagues, personal friends, whomever you are playing with. And I think the audience can pick up on that too. It's a very intimate kind of expression that you wouldn't play in a huge hall like the Peoria Civic Center Theater. Mm-hmm. Because it's just too big to pick up the nuance in the phrase. But in a place like Trinity or Dingledon Music Center or any number of smaller venues, it's really what that was created for, is to be there and be part of that.
Before we started recording today, you were both mentioning how you have collaborated with different people over the years and on different performances. And I'm just wondering, as you talk about chamber music being this conversation, are there some pieces that you think back to and say, oh, I loved performing that with Kyle, or I loved performing that with John, simply because of the personalities that you each bring to the piece itself?
I'm sure, yes, that's absolutely true. And we've also, you know, performed with Carol Wessler before. Kyle and I did a program 2 years ago at Trinity. It was Baroque music, and Carol is also a fine harpsichordist as well as cellist. So we've had some great collaborative experiences with her. And when we were putting this program together, we thought this Haydn trio that we chose would be perfect to include Carol with on this program. So yes, you do choose pieces. Oh, I love playing this. And I've played Brahms with John before, a different sonata. So they were chosen with people in mind, yes.
And with the first piece on the program, the Haydn Trio No. 1, this is a rather unique pairing. We've got cello, violin, and flute, which you don't often hear in a trio setting. Are there different things that you both have to keep in mind, Marcia as a violinist trying to blend with a flute and vice versa?
Well, certainly, yes.
I think that these are instruments that blend well, but certainly you do have to keep in mind the balance and how we relate to each other in terms of the conversation as we go back and forth between our lines with the bass line. So, and that piece actually was written for friends. So it's a neat connection there because Haydn late in his life had a bit more freedom from his servant composer days. And so he went to London and became friends with a nobleman. And through that friendship, friendship, he wrote this piece for the noblemen to play. They didn't have a lot else to do in peaceful times, and so they would gather at the castle and perform these works. So it was three friends, amateur musicians in their case, and noblemen who were performing the pieces.
Put on your educator hats for just a moment and speak to the value of just young people listening to live chamber music. So if there's a 10-year-old who's listening to this broadcast, why do they need to come? They're in beginning flute lessons or they're in beginning violin lessons. How does it help them to come and have a live chamber music experience?
There's a visual component to this in addition to the oral component. And so in addition to hearing the performance, they really see the connection between the performers. And I think that's an important part of it. It's a fun part of it for us. And it's an important thing for young instrumentalists to get to know is that it's not all about their part. It's about the collaboration. And I think when they see that in addition to hearing it, it really helps it come to life.
We've been talking with Kyle DeZappo and Marcia Henry Libano. They're two of the performers featured in Chamber Music by Candlelight. The concert is tonight at 7 at Trinity Lutheran Church. It's part of their Trinity Concert Series. Thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Peoria Riverfront Museum features two new exhibits opening this weekend. The first, Genome Unlocking Life's Codes, is an immersive high-tech exhibit that captures the revolutionary nature of genomic science. And the second, Microsculpture, The Insect Portraits of Levon Biss, is a unique photographic study of insects captured in mind-blowing magnification. Both exhibits will remain open through May 29th. For museum hours and information, visit PeoriaRiverfrontMuseum.org.
And Cornstalk for Kids is presenting The Mystery of Edwin Drood, Jr. It's a murder mystery adapted from an unfinished novel by Charles Dickens, and the audience gets to decide the identity of the killer at each performance. The final shows are tonight at 7:30 and tomorrow and Sunday at 2:30 at the Cornstalk Winter Playhouse.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.